This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas. We are live on FUBAR Radio. And of course, I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin.
How are you, Elle?
I'm great, darling. How are you?
I'm good, babe. Enjoying the old current bun?
Yes. Yeah. Very, very nice.
She had to think about it.
I know.
The sun.
Right. I was thinking that's what you're talking about.
It is lovely. It's lovely in London town.
Although the tubes are very hard to deal with.
I know. Let's not complain about it because it'll probably be winter by Friday.
Very true.
So we move. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, I've got a banger of a show for you this evening. Well, I always bring you a banger, but tonight, of course, we're very much going down that theme. So we're joined by Coppertop, who is starring in a brand new TV show, and it's called Drag in the Dark. So we're going to find out more about that, but I think the clue's in the title. I think it's Drag Queens in the Dark, but we are going to ask Coppertop. And we're also joined by Married to the Games, Ash Turner. Now, to our day ones that listen to Access, you know, we always start at the top of the show with a little bit of showbiz and a little bit of tea spilling. We've got the lovely Miss Stella back in the showbiz seat this week. Stella, how are you, girl?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Really good. Lady in reds. It's a good colour on you, girl.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Had to obviously bring the vibe when the sun's out, colours out.
Are you enjoying the weather still?
Very much. Very lovely. Much so. I was even saying before that my hay fever is the worst at this time. I hate summer at this in this country, especially. Yeah. But it's so far so good. But won't jinx
I've got Pivoton's in the bag. Other brands are available. Not on ads, but Pivoton hook me up. We'll take it. What's caught your eye, Miss Stell?
Well, so this is in terms of TV land, Celebrity Traitors lineup has been revealed. A lot of people have their opinions on it. Mm-hmm. I think quite a few people are asking, is a celebrity version even necessary? Which I do kind of see. I do agree with it because obviously the civilian, the regular people one, that obviously has people talking and it's great for those reasons. So even though we have a great lineup, you've got, Jonathan Ross, Paloma Faith, Stephen Fry, Tom Daly. It's a good lineup. I trust some people will deliver on great TV front, but well, it's one of those ones we'll have to see because maybe it could be all right.
Yeah, I mean, the best part of the Traitors really is when the people go in, all the strangers, and they fake things about their lives. So, remember there was a girl who was pretending to be Welsh last year.
Yes,
for some reason.
Yeah, how anyone believed it?
Yeah, she didn't even sound Welsh.
It was the worst Welsh accent I've ever heard.
So straight, I kept forgetting that she was pretending to be Welsh until she kept bringing it up in her VTs.
It got to the final. I was just like, so what was the purpose of all this again? Because I forgot.
Where did it end up going?
Exactly.
Yeah.
None of these celebs can lie like that because we're like, oh, Wikipedia, let's go. Let's do some research.
And I think, will it carry over? I'm intrigued to see how the first one does, and we'll see if there will be an ongoing celeb spin-off because, as your girls have said, we know these celebs inside out. Like, a lot of these people have had careers for years. Mm. So when they start trying to come out and come up with stories, we're going to be a bit like, well, we know you're lying, but do you know what I mean? So we'll see how that carries on, and also profile-wise, people are going to be worried about their image.
Yeah, so paying very cool.
When it comes to being a traitor and trying to, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
They'll be thinking brand deals. Is it a good look?
Mm, although the other thing is, do you know if somebody has a good public image, like say Claire Balding, you'd maybe be inclined to go, oh, she would never be a traitor because she's so nice.
Mm. Yeah.
And maybe because her public image is that sweet woman that you might kind of trust her more. So it might come in handy as well. We'll see.
Yeah, because there's got to be the risk of double bluffs. But Claire, for instance, I think you'd have to make her a traitor if I was saying, do you know what I mean?
Because
you just think that she's not going to be a faithful, but then would they expect you to think she's a traitor? We're down the wormhole already.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, because someone like Alan Carr, for instance, I mean, I don't know him personally, but imagine him as a traitor. I reckon he'd be so obvious.
Yeah.
Because he's just so animated and so happy. So make it so obvious.
Got to bait himself up in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch, actually. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. Do you know when it's starting?
I want to say autumn, think, because I think I don't actually know, because Strictly would be in around autumn time, or I don't know if it's going to be a couple of weeks before the regular one again. I have no idea, but soon. It's this year.
And it's a terrible thought, because I was just about to go, I can't wait for that, but I've just literally blinked and seen summer go in front of my eyes, and I've still not really think, we've had a couple of nice days, but I'm not in summer mode yet, and the fact I'm already going to go, I can't wait till autumn to start seeing that. We can't be doing that.
No.
I've barely only put the tree in the loft, it feels like 2 weeks ago. We can't be rushing time. time. No. When it comes, it comes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Something to look forward to, lads.
Yeah. Until then, we'll have all the sun.
Exactly.
And next on the list is, well, Halle Berry. Mm. Now, it was Mother's Day in the US on Sunday. And I saw this, like, everywhere. Just Halle Berry with her, I want to say boyfriend. No, it's not her husband. Definitely her boyfriend. Mm. And they were in bed together. And I don't know what they were speaking about, but I just saw it, like, keep popping up. So I was like, okay, let me actually watch this video. And Halle's basically promoting, she has like this well care line, and she was promoting intimacy gel. I think that's a fancy word for lube. Wow. And basically saying something, she was basically saying to her, like, we're about to use this in a bit later. And so basically, I don't know what it was going on there, but basically she was just, the comments were just like, I never thought I'd see the day where Halle Berry will be telling us she's about to get run through her mattress online. It was just very interesting. A lot of mixed opinions of people saying, like, should I be watching this? Like, what's going on?
Or, almost thinking, if she accidentally pressed live or recorded, and we should be seeing this.
Close friends on Instagram or something like that. Like, wow. Why am I seeing
this? One of them where you think, how much brand, like, what's the coin situation here?
Yeah.
She ain't doing this for £500, I would imagine, or $500. No. How much lube is this girl shifting for Ali to be sat there glorifying another basically KY jelly literally with a fella in bed? That there's got to be a good check in that for her.
I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, a lot, some other people were just like, you know what, yes, queen, do you? Because I think she's like 50 or something now, so it's just like,
do you before he does you?
Exactly. Yeah. Literally. That should be the slogan.
That is wild. Mother's Day is a wild day to choose as well.
It was a lot of layers to this. It's just like, Mother's Day. I was more of a Valentine's post, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yes. And moving away from Ali being rattled on Mother's Day. Does anyone know, nothing to do with lube, but why is there a different Mother's Day in America? Because I can never quite understand that.
Yeah. I don't know. It always freaks me out because I see all the posters on social media and I'm like, shit.
And I think it was only 2 weeks ago. You think, shit, if I'm kind of set for her, my mum's got nothing. Should I go buy her some lube? Poor Mummy Norris, that would a bottle of KY.
I think it seems to just be Mother's Day because we don't have Thanksgiving in this country, but it just seems to be Mother's Day because Easter weekend, obviously Christmas and all of that, that's universal, but Mother's Day is just they will know a separate thing for that.
Yeah, but if anyone knows at home, please get into, because it's like Valentine's always falling for February, Christmas 25th. But is it like Easter? I never really understand my role play day to 24. Yeah. Why Easter changes every year and Mother's Day, it's not like a set day. So who's deciding every year?
It's a good point, actually.
I don't know. There must be someone in a control room somewhere choosing dates.
As well, different topic as well. You know, storm names, like storm.
Yeah, book. Like Eunice.
Who comes up with that? Like, what happens?
Do you know what? Before Stephen Fry does the traitors, can we get him into the Foo Bar studio? Because I want to. Why is Ali flogging Luke? Why is Mother's Day and Easter different? And who's naming the fucking storms?
Yeah, I would love to pose these questions to him and just see his face going, what have I signed up for? Like, what the hell is this?
And okay, still on Miss Berry, nothing scandalous, I promise. Ooh. But she also made Cannes Film Festival at the moment, and I think somebody asked her, because she did star in a Bond film, how does she feel about a female James Bond? And she was pretty much like, no. What? Like, not, she's not really feeling it. Just, I understand that it's 2025 and I understand why you want to be progressive in that direction, but no. And if I'm being honest, I do kind of agree with it in a sense I would prefer more original storytelling with women taking the lead rather than remaking something. Because, you know, naturally, even if they did choose a woman to play James Bond, naturally, just because people are haters like that, it wouldn't perform well as much as they would hope. And you know what the conversation is going to be like.
Yeah.
So just have more original storytelling with women in the lead. That's rather than remaking something you know is just going to cause more kerfuffle and hassle rather than people appreciating the art behind it.
That's so true.
Controversial to say, but I completely agree. I think let's stick to original tales. I know there's a whole lot of backlash around the whole Disney and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and they can't be dwarfs, so they now call magical people. Like, we're going by old school fairy tales like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. What are we going to do? The Three Little Pigs. Little Red Riding, which gets hit by the grandmother's dressed as a wolf. Like, let's just stick to these kind of dark, not even just dark, just stick to the story or make new. Does Father Christmas become a... Like, I kind of think I'm all for the girls. Let's have it right. I'm on the Bobby bus.
Yeah.
I'm waving my flag for you girls.
Yeah.
but also let's just have some kind of
I feel like the James
stick to what's iconic. But exactly. Isn't it kind of gone downhill? I'm not much of a what do they call them Doctor Who fans. I think there's like a Whovians or something like that. But I know there's been a whole lot of backlash around that because we've seen different different doctors and people switching off in their millions.
Exactly.
It's a little bit like, if we know it's going to be the way, before they even pick up the script, James Bond's kind of going to go the same. So write a new story before predictable, but you're going to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, because I feel like the James Bond conversation, it's been kind of like people are interested, people are not. It's been picked off by, I think, Prime, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Prime have picked it up now, and I feel like the contender of who it's going to be, like, there was a really big conversation around it, but now it's just like, okay, just let us know, wake us up when the announcement's
out. Yeah, when we give a shit.
Yeah.
I think before we have a woman, let's have a gay Bond. I'm free. I will do it.
Yeah.
I'm SAS trained now.
Well, there you go. You practically are a Bond.
Pretty much.
Basically, I have to say it. I'll piss over James Bond, actually.
Exactly.
I'm an SAS soldier, so call me.
Do you know the way James Bond has all the hot girls around him and stuff? There'll be all these just like hot waiters, topless waiters and stuff.
Yes.
It's so interesting to see, wouldn't it?
Love it. I'm here for it. Get in touch, Prime.
And now, okay, and the final story with Brooklyn Beckham. So we don't know what's going on in the Beckham household, but people are alleging there's a feud going on between the oldest Brooklyn and the mum and dad, because it was David's 50th, I want to say, the last week or the week before, and all of his children were there in the big family photos, but Brooklyn and his wife, I want to say Nicola, not there, and everyone's just like,
So interesting.
Yeah.
And they were actually, they were going to go to Cannes Film Festival. Yeah. They were invited. No, sorry, not Cannes. What was it? The Met.
That was it. Yeah, yeah.
The Met. And they turned down their invite because they were going to David's party, and then they didn't show up.
Yeah.
So something happened in between that.
Because shit's gone down.
Yeah, because people are alleging that there is a bit of beef between Nicola and Victoria.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think since Brooklyn's wedding, that they've never really seen...
Rumour again, all alleged.
Yeah, of course.
But rumour mill is that the beef from before the wedding is that Nicola, the now wife, had spoke to Vicky B about wanting a dress designed, and I think Victoria had designed, because she's a fashion designer now, Victoria, had designed a wedding dress. And I don't think, again, all alleged, I don't know these girls. Sadly, I wish I did know Victoria. And basically... Nicola didn't like the dress that mother-in-law Vicky had. I don't imagine Vicky was up in the spare room knitting it and stitching it herself. I think she probably had the team doing that in Paris or somewhere. But yeah, long story short, didn't like the dress. I think that pissed off Vicky.
I
don't know if it's all escalated. This is all alleged.
Of course, yeah.
But there's people now kind of going, this is looking very similar to Harry and Meghan, kind of sacking off the parents and like... Is this how it's going now?
The only thing I don't like, the conversation around it in the tabloids, is like the women are the problem.
Yes.
Like, because we actually don't know what's going on behind closed doors. It could have been a Brooklyn and David feud.
Yeah, exactly.
But everyone is like speculating it's Nicola trying to remove him from the family. Yep. Like what's happening with Meghan. And it's just like... We don't know. Like, stop blaming the women.
We'll never know exactly that. So that's just that in the world of... the Beckham family, because a lot of people have just been questioning, because it's a bit interesting how you have a 50th, a big milestone birthday like that, and one of your children aren't present. It's
and
just
the fact
like,
he didn't even say happy birthday on social media, I think that's really telling.
Really telling, yeah.
Because that's easy to
And he's
do.
Been spending a lot more time with like Nicola's family rather than over his own. So it's again, all alleged. We've got to throw that out there.
Either way, they'll be fine. Not like Harry and Meghan, they will not be cut off because her family are billionaires. So they're all good.
It may make the Beckhams... look like they're collecting vouchers. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. The poorer side of the family.
Yeah. Collecting their coupons. They buy one, get one free. But I think when showbiz or not, I think it's always sad when families fall out.
Yeah, of course. And it's played out so publicly as well, because of course people have their...
And whatever it's come down to, whether it's wedding dresses or it's an argument, whatever, you can't... God, there's so much shit going on in the world. Life's tough, do you know what I mean? Even for billionaires, it's tough. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, we're all the same.
So let's spare a thought for them billionaires. And I think our last show, shit happens. Tomorrow ain't Garrick. I'm philosophical. Stephen, only Stephen Fry. We could all go out tomorrow and get hit by a bus, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So make up before it's too late.
Mm-hmm. For real. Here, here.
Anyway, Victoria, if you want to come into the studio, please do. I'd love to have you here.
Imagine come if she in. Came in to tell us that she was like...
Yeah. Like, I'll tell you all about that bitch. I made that wedding dress. You're like, yes, Vicky, yes. I'll sing Spice Girls for you. But anything else caught your eye?
Well, yes, Gabby and Casey.
Oh, yes.
On latest Love Island tea. Broke up, they won the latest like All-Star series and they've split and a lot of people were a bit like, well, okay, like, and next in other news, the sky's blue because
yeah, there's not a lot of shocked people on social, really. Is there?
I mean, I don't know Casey personally. He seems like a lovely guy, but I think he just views Love Island as kind of just like
a career.
A career. Yeah. So it's like on to the next. That's kind of, I think that's just how he sees it. He sees it as just fun. And I don't think, I mean, I feel like the other people that maybe get into a relationship with him or whatever, they kind of maybe know that. But from what I saw on the All Star series, Gabby was very much like, she's, I think she's in her
30s. Yeah,
so
yeah, she's getting ready. Old, man.
She's so old. Settle down, like suburban lifestyle, and he's just not. He's like, okay, Love Island 2025, let's go. It's like summer series. So.
He's still quite young, though, isn't he? He's like in his 20s.
Yeah, 25, 26, something like that. So
I doubt he's going to be ready to settle down anytime soon. He just wants to have fun.
Yeah. Don't hate the player, hate the game. That's what they say.
I mean, this is no shame because I love Callum. I've known Callum for 100 years and I've worked with him on various projects. But he kind of is a young, not that Callum's old, so I care if you're listening. But it's like a modern day Callum Best. He's one of them that will just have a career from dating shows. Do you know what I mean?
He loves the game.
Just keep going to Love Island. Just,
so it's then you one can never get in a relationship because you have to do the next stage.
Because that's your job.
Yeah. That's it.
But is it they get a free holiday? Maybe it's just one of the two because it's either South Africa or Mallorca.
Yes, and next year we'll probably get his name down for Celebs Go Dating again. Another Love Island. So then next, it just goes round.
Oh, gosh.
Who knows? But, sorry, guys, about the relationship breaking up. There's a lot of sad people in the...
Everyone's devastated.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Bless them.
Right, you're
there
for me,
Mum. Yeah, and at least they gave it a go because you know what? True. You never know with these things. It could have worked.
Cool,
it could have been the next... I was going to say Tommy and Molly, but they're not really the pinnacle anymore, are they?
I don't even know if they're back together.
They are.
They are.
I just watched their prime
I need to catch up.
Thing.
What
it's
was it
very
like?
Good. It was good. I mean, it was very similar to the first three episodes. I don't know why there was a need for another three episodes. But in the last episode, we find out that she's actually back with Tommy.
Okay.
So, you know, good for them. I'm glad they, you know, the family unit is back together. Yeah, I hope it works out this time. But she did say that she wants him to quit drinking and he still wasn't able to do that.
Oh no.
And they're back together.
Oh.
So, you know, watch.
And the sister's not really, from what I saw in the episode, the sister's not really.
She's not feeling it. She reckons he'll hurt her again.
Oh dear, watch this space. Sadly, we'll be here to report on it. Yeah. The good times and the bad, but hey, that show is right, Miss Stella. We love you. Thank you for coming in, guys.
Thank
we're going to
so
take
much.
A little break and then we're going to be joined via the old Zoom airways by Miss Coppertop. We'll see you in two. Ta-da!
Foodbar Radio. Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Moira Higgins.
That was a Geordie Shaw thing.
Has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
You're listening to Foobar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foobar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Foobar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The Foobar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today. Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
It's the sound of your mates. alive. He's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello.
The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being, like, making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, how tall is your mum? And I was like, oh, she's 6 feet under. Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. I'm your host, Bobby Norris, and we are being joined virtually for the old world of old technology via the World Wide Web and Zoom. We've got Copper Top. How you doing, Copper?
Hello, Bobby. Hello, Ellen. How are we doing?
Hello.
Really good, thank you. Really good. Your blow dryer is giving me envy.
I know, it's
the
amazing.
Whiff. I thought we had a Ginger Elvis on the Zoom.
Gorgeous.
That's what I like to serve.
Absolutely, babes. Right, so I was saying at the top of the show when I was introducing you, what is, I'm kind of guessing by the clue of the title, Drag in the Dark, I'm guessing it's Drag Queens in the Dark, but can you kind of go into it and spill the tea? Am I getting that right? Is there more to it?
Pretty much got it right. Okay. So yeah, if you imagine back in the day, Yvette Fielding and Derek Acora.
Yes. All right, okay. She ain't dead, he is, just in case anyone's listening.
take the essence of that,
okay.
And then grab some famous drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, stick them in some haunted manors,
love
and
it.
And ghost hunting.
I mean, whoever thought of this show needs a BAFTA, because imagine bringing that to a boardroom. Like, I would be quaking in my boots to everyone be laughing me out of the room, but somebody was like, I believe in this show.
Do you love all things witchy poo? Because I've done a few ghost hunt things, not with the two you mentioned, but various over my 15 years of dating shows. Because we were talking about dating shows and showbiz tossip. Tossip.
Are you having a stroke?
Yeah, I think so. But I love all things witchy poo. I've done many a ghost hunt. I even got Margaret Thatcher come through as a ghost.
No way.
Yeah, but more about my Tory ghost later. So do you do like the likes of Ouija boards and stuff? Is that very much your realm?
Yeah, very much so. So interestingly, I'm a bit of a skeptic. And so I went in going, production are going to pull this out of the bag. They're going to pull this out of the bag. I get scared very easily. I scream. I hit the floor. I'm an absolute, just when it comes to kind of ghosts and anything like that, I'm an absolute wimp. And so I went in a bit skeptical, but do you know what? I met Jackie, who was she's part of the paranormal team.
Oh.
And she's a medium, and she said to me, Copper, I've got a message for you. It's from your nan.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay, listen, anyone can guess that.
Yeah, we've all got dead nans.
Yeah.
But then she said she wants to thank you for the yellow roses you put on her grave. And I just went white as a sheet. And I was like, no one would know that, because that was a private thing, very personal between me and my nan.
Wow.
And then that's when it all got weird. And so, yeah, we did Ouija boards. They had proper, like, Ghostbusters gadgets on the table.
Love it.
These gadgets were, like, making whirling noises. They were screaming. They were beeping. Stones were being thrown across the room. Doors were slamming. Like, it was genuinely the most terrifying night of my life.
Wow. And you must stay overnight.
So we did stay overnight. And I had to do a lone sort of vigil in this old child's bedroom.
Oh, there's nothing worse than dead Victorian children, yeah, I always find creepy when it comes to ghosts.
Don't giggle.
Don't even get me started. They were like old Victorian dolls.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah, it was horrible. Well, anyway, in that moment, something happens, which I won't reveal. You have to watch Out TV or Outflix on the 3rd of June to find out what I saw. Mm-hmm. But I can assure you that I absolutely cacked my pants. I fell on the floor and I screamed like there was no tomorrow.
Did anything physical happen to you? Because not the time that I channeled Margaret Thatcher, she come through to me. Funny enough, I was with Rylan, another guy, and
of course Rylan was there.
So it was me and Ry, and you couldn't make it up that the spiritualist person, because me and Ry come over all funny, and we were separated, so we weren't conferring or concurring, what do they call it?
Yeah.
So we didn't know what each other was feeling, but there was this one particular room, and they'd locked this soldier in there, and it turns out it's a homophobic ghost, so he was rubbing his hands together when me and Rylan rocked up. Only me and Rylan could go ghost hunting and find a fucking homophobic ghost. And separately in these rooms, I kid you not, it was like, I said, I've got to lean against this wall. I feel like I'm being strangled. I could feel the air coming out of me. But 45 minutes later, Rylan went in the same room and he said, oh my God, the air's so weird. Like, was getting throttled.
Oh my God.
By a homophobic ghost. Did you have anything like that?
Yes, yeah, similar. So there was one room where I had to look into a very special mirror, and this mirror takes you through to another realm.
Oh.
Essentially, the mirror shows you what's in the room. And so you can kind of look through different realms to kind of see the different ghosts and spirits that are within this room. And so I was sat there and I absolutely in the mirror saw all these hands. I had this big spiky orange wig on.
Of course, you did.
Coming for this wig, and that was terrifying. But then there was some crying. We heard some crying from this lady, and then I started to cry, and I don't know why, but like tears are pouring from my eyes, but I wasn't sad. Like, it wasn't me crying. I can't describe it.
That is so
coming
creepy
down my face. It was really, really quite scary.
Has that show changed your perspective? Because you said you were a skeptic.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Like, I always thought I maybe was a bit spiritual, but I've left that. I was in a massive kind of priory, an old priory for monks. And so I left there thinking, yeah, they're absolutely are ghosts. It's very real. I'm a changed person. And do I want to take up ghost hunting? No. I'll stick to drag. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's funny, and I get why a lot of people are scared of it. And people always go, why do you... But I've always been... Like, I'm... it's not this nothing to do with ghosts such, but I love like tarot cards. I love psychic readings. Since a little boy, it's all very much been my... I'm so spiritual. That's almost like my religion, so spiritual. I'm not sure if that's blasphemy. Mm-hmm. I don't mean it to be, so sorry if I'm offending anyone. But I believe there is an afterlife. And I hope there is. I hate to think I'm just going to be put in a box one day, yeah, and that's the end of me. Do you know what I mean? I like to think we go somewhere, whether that's going around like strangling people in haunted houses or not. Not so much. But I do think there's something. But people go, well, you're not scared. And I kind of think, but I don't believe it's the dead that hurt us. I know a lot of people that are alive that hurt us.
Yeah.
It ain't the dead.
Mm.
Oh, the dead are actually nicer than some of the people that are alive.
Unless you get a poltergeist.
Unless you get a homophobic poltergeist or Margaret Thatcher come
there
through.
There you go. What did Margaret Thatcher do to you? Was she the homophobe?
No, she weren't homophobic right to me, actually. No, it wasn't her strangling me and Rylan. But... so would you do it again, babes? Or you're hanging your old haunted witchy poo hat up?
No, 100%. I actually said to the director and producer, I said, listen, if you're doing it again, bring me back. Like, I would love to do it again. I think I've really got to know the paranormal team and they're really lovely. And I'd quite like to do it one more time with them, but maybe not with cameras there.
Yes.
When there's cameras there, it's all for show. And you know what it's like in showbiz, we play to the cameras. Actually, without any cameras there, what would it be like and would it be different? And that'd be quite interesting, I think.
The only thing about these paranormal shows that I always think, you rarely see anything on camera, even though there's cameras there all the time. It's like, surely you can pick something up on camera, like just a few noises or a squeaky radio thing that they're holding in their hand, but you never actually see doors slamming or, like, you know, a ghost or whatever. Did the cameras, when you were filming, pick up anything that, like, might turn the audience to thinking, okay, this is real?
Yeah, Joe, I've got a story here. So in my lone vigil, I was given a camera myself to hold, and they said, copper, pop this in your hands, make sure it's, like, facing you, but if you see anything, please turn the camera and face it at whatever's happening. And so I was there, like, talking to the room. And then when I saw something, that's when I screamed. And not only did I fall, but I dropped the camera.
Oh, God. You had one job.
I had one job, Ellen, one job. And it didn't happen. And so I think it has something to do with when scary things happen, the last thing you think about is aiming a camera at the scary thing.
Yeah, you can't go into survival mode. So from haunted houses, I want to go into the Big Brother house. Also, you did Drag Race with Danny Beard.
Yeah.
Who become runner-up in Celebrity Big Brother just a few weeks ago. How do you think Danny did? Was you watching the show?
I was watching the show. Yeah, I know Danny. I know Donna really well.
Love Donna.
So I wanted to kind of support both of them. I thought they both did amazingly. Danny did us so, so proud. Mm. You know, to take off the drag and just kind of be yourself in the Big Brother house is quite vulnerable, I think. And I think Danny handled it, like, just superbly. Danny is so funny. Like, they're just amazing. And, I hope that I hope that they get the dreams that they want from the end of this. You know, the whole idea of being there and being Danny is keen to be like a TV presenter. And I think Danny would be fantastic as a TV presenter. And so, we were all super proud. And it's just repping like the LGBTQI plus community. Danny is really kind of a beautiful spokesperson for the community. And so to have somebody like Danny in there was just, it's a win for all of us.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in going into Big Brother, say, next year the phone comes ringing?
Oh, my gosh, 100%. If the phone rang and they were like, come on in, then yeah. I mean, you'd be silly not to. I think the experiment in itself of just being in one place all the time is really interesting. I don't know how I'd fare without my blow dryer and my eyelash tint and all that stuff.
I haven't done the day before you go in. At least the tint, you'll be fine. For 3 weeks, the tint will last.
But, you know, it's all about just sort of being in there and showing the world, like, who you really are. And so I think that's quite powerful. And so, yeah, I'd say yes. I wouldn't say no to anything.
What would you miss the most, apart from the eyelash tint and the... if we did it together, I'll blow dry your hair for you. I'm an ex-hairdresser, so I'll stick my hair dryer in. I'll do it for you.
Yeah, I'd trust you with that. I would trust you with
that. Thank you, babe. Professional blow move.
It would be a quiff off.
She's such a bitch.
People at home be voting for the favourite quiff, not to keep in who's in the house.
You know, I think I'd miss my partner and my sort of like chosen family, like,
yeah,
we've become like really tight, and I think not having them around that would be very strange. But you know, you make friends with people in there and you become very close very quickly.
Of course you do.
And so that would be interesting.
Yeah. What about other TV shows away from Big Brother? Is there anything that's caught your eye? Would you, I mean, what about Strictly? Could you see yourself waltzing around? You're used to being a showbiz girl.
Even begin. So Strictly is a big dream of mine.
Oh, I think you'd be amazing at Strictly. Because you perform our drag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love it. I would love it. I love watching Strictly. When we were doing Drag Race, I was saying to my publicist the whole time, like, please get me seats for Strictly. Please get me seats for Strictly. And it's so hard to get seats for Strictly. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'd love to do it. You know, we've had Tace on the Christmas show, which was amazing. And Tace did phenomenal. And so I'd never say no to Strictly.
Your foot's halfway in the door already, because Drag Race UK is a BBC production. So to do another BBC, you're already known in the BBC
that's
world,
it. Bernie. You're on the books.
So you've just got to call in them favours, girl.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we've not had many gingers on Strictly, so, like, you know.
Oh, my God, represent, exactly. Represent.
You could dance with Neil. We wouldn't know the difference, the lovely Neil.
Oh, bless, I love Neil.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a soap.
I love Traitors. I'm a massive fan of Traitors, and they've got a celeb version coming out soon. I cannot wait.
Yeah, we were just talking about that at the top of the show because the showbiz, I've ripped it up now. we were just doing it's been announced who the showbiz, the celebrity people are. So if I quickly read them out to you, we've got Claire Baldwin. These are just some of them, otherwise it'll be a real show. Alan Carr, Charlotte Church, Tom Daly, Paloma Faith, Stephen Fry, Kate Garraway, and Jonathan Ross.
So good.
What's your thoughts in terms of doing a celeb one? Do you think the format allows itself to have a celeb version? Because the whole idea of being traitors is you don't know people's backgrounds and stories. So Stephen Fry, we've known for 50 years.
I'm really interested to see if, like, the celeb persona, like, fades away a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's a bit like drag, you know, you sort of go in and, like, everyone's got a bit of a personality, a bit of confidence they turn on. We know how to do that. But actually, will that fade away? Mm. And will we see the real people behind the celeb voice and the celeb face?
Let's hope so. I mean, that's what we can hope for from that show. But I have a feeling that because they're celebrities, they've too much to lose if they appear, you know, sneaky.
Yeah, I trust in Claudia, and so she will deliver.
We
and
love
I
Claudia.
Obsessed that Charlotte Church is in. I've got to say, her new career of sort of, she's got this lovely retreat in Wales, and I don't know if you saw that on This Morning when she was there with Alison Hammond, and the bowl, and she was kind of putting this sort of stick around this bowl, making this sound and singing, and Alison Hammond was absolutely
pissing herself. She was. That was so funny. I love Alison.
I didn't see it. But
Charlotte Church brings that musical bowl with her because that'll just be chef's kiss.
Oh, iconic. We're here for Claudia's Fringe. That's all I know. Copper, thank you so much, babe. Best of luck with everything. Always a pleasure. And take care. Thank you for coming on to Access All Areas.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully see you
soon, babe. Bye. Guys, we're going to take a little break and then we're going to be joined by Married to the Games, Ash Turner. We'll see you in two.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you. What an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today. When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way from this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction, send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
I'm joined by Alex Mitten, retreat host and mentor.
I think a lot of people are lonely, surrounded by people at the minute. Like, you know, especially living in London, there's fucking people everywhere. But we sort of live these quite strange lives now where we're quite closed down emotionally, you know, even just like with our voice. We don't really speak that often sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. I'm your host, Bobby Norris, and we've just been joined in the studio by the legend that is Ash Turner from Married to the Game. Ash, how are you, my love?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
Really good. Thank you for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome.
She's so polite. Our politest guest so far. Gold star.
We normally have a lot about drag queens and reality trash. So it's always a well spoken person.
Exactly, we're not used to
this. So Ash, fill us in for any of our listeners that might not have seen Married to the Game. So it's a reality documentary series available on Amazon Prime. It offers an intimate look into the lives of the wives and girlfriends, wags. Is wag an offensive term now?
You know, I never consider myself a wag. I guess in the literal term, it means wives and girlfriends. So, yes, I'm married to a footballer. So in that sense, yeah. But the term wag, I feel like, does come with this connotation. And people make a lot of assumptions around that term. And so I feel like the premise of the show actually is trying to combat that stigma and show the true reality behind what it's like to be married to a footballer, or, I mean, for this case, it's a footballer, but married to a professional athlete. It can appear to be glamorized, but in reality, I think it's in a lot of ways the opposite.
And I think the things as well now, I guess when the term first came out, I remember when WAGS was at its peak, and I think it was like 2007, around the time Victoria Beckham, Colleen Rooney. I'm not much of a fan follower. I don't mind watching a few footballers run around, but I don't know what it was, if it was the Euros. I think it was a World Cup, and they'd gone to obviously somewhere in the world where they was playing. And the press and the magazines were actually more interested in Victoria, Cheryl Cole at the time, Colleen Rooney, what they was wearing, the Birkins and that kind of stuff, rather than the boys playing football. And although they're all very successful in their own rights, when they use the word wags, the connotation is that it's like a gold digger, someone that's gone after. And generally, the good-looking geezers, they're thinking, right, she's with a footballer, she wants a Bentley, she wants a Birkin, she lays on her back and she gets a lovely house and a lovely car out of it. Do you know what I mean? So people don't really think that these people have careers, but a lot of wives and girlfriends actually are very savvy businesswomen.
I mean, just look at Victoria Beckham.
I think she's doing all right, she's actually.
Doing She is incredible. Exactly. I mean, she's on her own level, to be honest. But yeah, it's interesting that you say that. I think that when it comes, like from my background, oh gosh, I just think about moving here and it was the farthest thing from glamorous. And I'll dive into that a little bit more because I don't think necessarily the show captured the first initial move. But I did have a whole corporate job. I was doing consulting for small businesses, looking at organizational behavior and how to consult for that and improve on profits for companies. And then I also was running a nonprofit. And so when you are so involved with your own career and then you realize if you want to be with the person that you love, you have to make these crazy sacrifices. And that was just the first one, like knowing that I was going to have to leave my career and move over to a new country in addition to being 8 months pregnant.
Wow. Scary.
It was scary. And my husband, Matt, he actually was still playing, finishing up his contract in the U.S. And because you can only fly for up to so many months pregnant, I had to move over here before he did.
Wow.
But I also didn't have, for the first time, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car. I didn't even know how to drive here. Didn't know where I was going to live. We were signed with Arsenal. They were really great about taking care of me. But there were moments where I just didn't know what to do, especially without Matt. Like, I was a first-time mom. I was walking to the grocery store, which was a mile away, living in North London. I had no idea about the public transportation, which now I absolutely love. But, yeah, there's just so many different things that you just didn't... I didn't even know where I was going to give birth. Birth, for example.
Wow.
And if Matt was going to make it in time, like, was I going to have a baby before Matt even got here?
That is so difficult.
Yeah.
I don't think we said, but you're actually married to Matt Turner. He's goalkeeper now for Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, he's on loan right now at Crystal Palace.
At Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm. So there's actually so much moving around, because when you first moved here, only 3 years ago, you moved to London, right?
Yes. So we were with Arsenal North London, Barnet area.
Yeah.
It's not too far from here.
Where was you that way? Hadley Wood kind of way.
Did close you to Hadley Woods.
Very nice right now.
It was nice. But again, like, I just didn't have my bearings. I didn't know where anything was.
Oh, without a car to walk around Hadley Wood looking for a Sainsbury's.
Oh, exactly. And I was like, I didn't even know what the
what a Sainsbury's was.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have used DoorDash.
I should have. But you know what? Where we were living, DoorDash couldn't even read our area, so I couldn't even get Ubers.
Posh,
that's
Abby.
Why.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't even get Ubers. And I'm like, I'm going to have to walk, which is great. I'll induce labor.
But
it was lovely. I see this woman waddling on the side of the road with, like, bags. It was really a glamorous sight. But, you know, after that, I was thinking, we finally are stable and we're going to be, we got pregnant at the World Cup. Well, not at the World Cup, but right after the World Cup. And, you know, I was so excited. I thought we were going to have stability in our lives. And, you know, summer came and I was 8 months pregnant. And all of a sudden, I see Matt on Sky Sports and they're saying that Nottingham Forest want to purchase him. We had to move again. And this whole instinctual thing about wanting to nest.
Yeah.
I really just wanted to be able to create a nursery for the first time in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, never mind, like, just surviving for the baby number one. Baby number two, I'm like, I thought it was going to be great. And obviously, it's a huge blessing, but I just was fighting every urge to want to just stay put. So, you know, it's interesting that we had Everly in London, and then, that was a Thursday. Friday, I got discharged, and Saturday, I drove the babies up to Nottingham Forest to move the babies. And I was like, thank goodness I didn't have a C-section, because I wouldn't be able to drive.
Yeah.
But that I was so adamant about making sure that I was able to have, God willing, a natural birth. But I was petrified, because there's so many things that are out of your control when it comes to childbirth. And we're filming all of this stuff, and I didn't know what to expect. So my first 2 years here were really just, it felt like survival mode.
Yeah.
And so many people don't necessarily see that. And even in the show, it didn't necessarily show me driving the babies to Nottingham 2 days after having one.
That,
How did yourself and Matt find the whole filming process? Obviously, he's a professional sportsman. He gets it, but that's his world. Stepping into kind of reality TV documentary, it's a completely different kettle of fish to playing football, isn't
it? He's so supportive.
Bless
and I'm so grateful for that. And he said, you've sacrificed so much stuff for me. If this is something that you really want to do, I'm going to support you. Of course, we had to have his agent and people sign off, but we're very candid and we're very open people. So, and he if he was here, he'd be chatting the entire time. He loves to talk, and he doesn't really stop talking. So, in terms of cameras, if it's on, he's going to just chat.
So he doesn't go camera shy then?
Not at all.
No.
He's so good in terms of being in front of the camera. So I wasn't worried about him at all. If anything, I was worried about me being, again, so pregnant and being on TV. How is this going to look? Is everything going to go okay with the pregnancy? We had some issues with Easton, so I was really apprehensive about signing on initially because of the fact that, of course, our baby's health comes first. And what if something happens like it did with our first baby? where our baby is sent to NICU, and is that going to be on TV? And where I don't want any cameras in the way. If something happens with the baby, I want them to be able to take the baby and do exactly what's medically necessary immediately.
Not refilm it, set up the cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we get that shot again?
Let's just do it on repeat. It doesn't really work that way. So I was really worried about being that vulnerable. But I also, Matt and I both felt this way because of our past experiences with creating a family and starting a family. We wanted people to see that aspect too. And we wanted to show that this is real life. You don't always get to have your significant other be a part of the pregnancy, the journey behind it. And of course, he is as much as he can, but he might not be there. There's a lot of things, or you might just be moving, or there's a lot of things that are out of
our control.
There will
be people that can relate to that. Do you know what I mean? Whether it's for work or sadly, worse people die, do you know what I mean? Or break up and before it even gets to that point. So I think it's really nice for people to see that it's not all this honeymoon. Of course, it's lovely if they're there, but people envision what it should be. Through like fairy tales, but that's not always a reality. Would you and Matt like any more, or is shop shut down there now?
So I always tell them every time I get pregnant we end up moving, but again, I wasn't pregnant last September and we ended up moving again to South London, which I absolutely love being here. But I told him, God willing, if we're ever able to have another baby, I still need some time. I don't know yet. We want one more, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So not currently actively trying.
No.
She's like, God, no.
She's resting at the
minute. Honestly, I'm really enjoying my wine right now. Just having some fun. But I think after the next World Cup, we would consider it. But we also we're very transparent people. We've struggled with miscarriages. And so I'm terrified about that and the long right wait. Is that going to be another issue that I have? And I just don't know if I emotionally can handle going through that again. Before every pregnancy, I end up having one. And it's really just, it's so hard because, again, Matt's usually not there. And he also is going through this. He's trying to support me from afar. And usually he's in another country at the time. Something happens. And so that's a big question for us. Can I emotionally handle that possibility again? Can we? But we would love to have one more. I would love to be able to experience the nesting and having like the time to enjoy having a baby.
How many more years till he retires? Yeah. Because you could wait until then, so
we know
he's settled.
I could. You never know with goalkeepers. He just sent
me. They could keep on going.
They keep going.
Yeah. Damn it!
There was a 50-year-old. I think he's playing Bulgarian league.
Oh God. Okay. Well, you can't wait for that.
I don't want to wait for that.
In terms of like the miscarriage and stuff, I think, like you're saying, it's so important to be transparent because sadly, it's happening to so many thousands of women daily, and to couples, not just to women. And I can see how that would leave you almost with, I'm not sure if this is right, almost a fear to get pregnant again because you're just almost scared of that loss. If you don't mind me asking, because there's a lot said over like the last couple of years where men are notorious for not opening up, like man's man, like lock our feelings away. Well, me, not so much.
Open
traditional caveman men. How does Matt is Matt quite open like with his feelings and emotion and grief when you go through a miscarriage? Would he be like heart on his sleeve?
The first time it happened for us, I was in Boston and he was away with his national team and he had a game the next day and he was like, I'm going to come home. I'm going to make sure that I'm there for you. I'm going to tell everybody, the staff, and they'll support me. And I told him no, because there's nothing he can do, unfortunately. And we hadn't told anybody about the pregnancy yet, which I think that in hindsight, I wish I did. I was more communicative about the fact that we were pregnant. Mm-hmm. So it would have been easier for me to reach out for help. But I just shut down and I wanted to deal with it on my own. But also at the same time, I know that his dream is to be playing at the World Cup. And at this time, it was the qualifiers for World Cup. And I told him, like, you need to to stay there and you need to focus. And so in order to be a goalkeeper, he had to learn how to compartmentalize because that he is a very emotional person and he isn't one to shy back from that, which I love.
That's
about
him. That's a lovely thing.
I'm so grateful because I don't think he's the traditional man. I mean, he's a man. Yeah. But, and I love him for that. But he is, like, he's not afraid to just get on my level with me and be there for me. But when it comes, those are the sacrifices I can make in order to see him reach his goals and his dreams. And now his dreams are becoming my dreams. And the next thing that we hope for is to see him at the next World Cup. But yeah, it's really difficult. The second time it happened, it was right after World Cup, you know? And and we were able to have Everly quickly after, but you just never know how to, every time he's gone, and I want to just pull him back, but at the same time, again, there's only so much he can do.
Yeah.
And in terms of his support, I don't know how he is able to compartmentalize, because I know it impacts him, and I think he's started to talk to some of his teammates about it.
That's good.
You know, and they've then started to talk about their experiences.
Great.
And so I love seeing those conversations happen because I think it's only going to be a breakthrough and in the result of that, hopefully them playing better.
Oh, completely. I think especially for men's mental health now, being open, and again, those that have sons, I think it's important for sons to kind of see that it's okay to open up. And certainly statistics are so bad out there for men that don't open up and take their own lives. Do you know what I mean?
I think I want him to be able to talk about everything and never hold back and not be afraid of showing his own emotions.
Absolutely.
It's so healthy, and being his own person, whatever that looks like to him.
Yeah.
That's
completely.
What I need for him.
But thank you so much for coming into the studio. It's an absolute pleasure. You have to come back soon.
I would love to. Thank you again.
Guys, thank you for joining us this week. We'll be back next Wednesday, 6 p.m. We'll see you there. Access All Areas, Food by Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye.